Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed and where my faith gets stronger and where I learn how to be an overcomer. This world is full of darkness. 1 John 5 talks about that the whole world lies under the sway and influence of the evil one and of darkness. And so you don't have to try to be negative in this world. Just be born and go with the flow of everything around you, and you will be generally negative. And the problem is, you won't realize it because everybody around you is the same. But that's because the curse and death and darkness is in the earth. And that's all we've ever known because we were born into this. But God's not that way. He's light.
Yes.
Only light. He's life. He's goodness.
Amen.
He's love,
yes.
Peace,
yes.
Joy, every good thing. And his way of operating and functioning is faith and light, life, power, goodness. He doesn't speak random stuff. He doesn't have words that are empty, that are idle, that have nothing in them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, you shouldn't say phrases like, oh, I'm just saying. Because
right. Right.
God never just says.
Mm-hmm.
If he says, it happens. And he's actually training us to operate like him. We are to use our words, our heart believing in our words speaking for more than communication.
Yes, right.
More than just expressing our thoughts and feelings. We're to use our words to change things.
Yes.
Is it possible?
Yes.
The scripture says life and death
yes.
is in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
And they that love it, they'll eat thereof. In other words, which one you pick, you'll enjoy it if you speak life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're speaking life, you're speaking faith.
Yes.
And where did you get it? How did you even know what to say? Faith comes by hearing his words of life.
Amen.
So that's why we have Faith School, and that's what's happening again today.
Yes.
Father, we agree together, we join together, we ask, and we lay hold of utterance, anointing, answers, strength. Minister to us. Strengthen us with strength by your Spirit in our inner man. Fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Get glory to yourself in us, in light and life and victory in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In a number of weeks now, we have been talking about having faith for provision. And we're doing so by going through 30 different great truths from the Bible, reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Said out loud, abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always
God's will
for us all.
Abundant provision
is always
God's will
for me. Every day of my life, every year of my life, every place, every season. I don't have to labor, wonder if God wants me to have anything. Wonder if God wants me to be able to pay my bills. Wonder if God, you know, it'd be all right for us to have some good clothes and a way to go. Let me help you. Yes. 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 Now, you might laugh, but until you get that settled, you're in limbo. You're in wavering. And let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. You won't. You can beg. You can cry. You can need. It won't change anything. The world's full of that. But you get it settled. You become like Abraham, fully persuaded that what God said, he's able to perform. And you start agreeing with God and saying what he says and doing what he says, your life will change.
Amen.
I mean, it'll change radically.
Right.
You will come out.
Yes.
And you will come up.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he will get glory in that.
Yes.
It's not how broke you are that glorifies God. It's not how sick you are that glorifies God. Poverty does not glorify God.
Amen.
Sickness does not glorify God. Any more than sin glorifies God. Now, you getting saved from sin glorifies God.
Yes.
But it wasn't the sin that glorified God. It was the deliverance from it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You being healed glorifies God.
Yes.
Healed from the sickness, healed from the disease. But it wasn't the disease that glorified God. It was the deliverance.
Yes.
It was the healing.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And God is glorified when we come out of poverty.
Yes.
When we're able to pay our debts and
yes.
pay our bills
yes.
and get straightened out and,
yes.
and get ahead and,
yes.
and be givers.
Yes.
Help other people. Yes. That glorifies God.
Yes.
Not the poverty we came out of.
Yes.
The poverty was the occasion
yes.
for God to be glorified, not the cause of the glory.
Yes.
Just like the sin was the occasion for God to be glorified in our salvation. And so we talked about that and we looked in detail at Deuteronomy 28. Galatians 3 said we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And so we want to know what is the curse of the law. And we've seen that the curse covers basically everything bad.
Yes.
I mean, it covers fear, torment. It covers being attacked and not having any protection and being defeated. It covers every sickness and every disease ever named and those that are not yet named. There's a verse for the ones not named. In the curse of the law. And it talked about your crops failing. And your herds being decimated and your enemies being able to steal everything you got and even losing your kids and even losing your mind.
Yes.
Curse.
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 It is written.
Yes.
That's curse.
Yes.
Tell me the good news about that. Come on, help me out. Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Does that mean I'm redeemed? From being defeated?
Yes.
From being oppressed?
Yes.
From losing my mind?
Yes.
From losing my kids?
Yes.
Come on, y'all, listen. Is that true?
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes.
Now, you'll find people that'll try to argue with you about it. Well, you know, no, not really. I mean, we just never know what God's going to do. Where's that verse at? We just never know. I've read through it quite a bit. I don't know where that verse is. No, you read numerous times where it says, by this we know.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we said Abraham was fully persuaded.
Yeah.
You got to get to the place where you are no longer debating these things.
Yeah.
You're no longer questioning these things. Until you get there, you are not in faith. You're still wondering, wavering, guessing, questioning, doubting. And James says, don't think you'll receive anything when you're in that state. And if you're not settled and persuaded right now, that's why we're having faith school.
Yes.
Come on in.
Yes.
Get your Bible. And if you don't get it all the first class, that's why we got hundreds of them. Just keep coming back. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. And not to think like me or our particular group, the Bible.
Yes.
The Word of God, let it renew your mind and get rid of all the men's twisted ideas until you just got truth. Hallelujah. And that truth will make you free. 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 Go with me to the book of Psalms, if you would. We looked at this in yesterday's class, and I want to talk a little more about it. Go to Psalm 125, if you would. We saw that Proverbs says, the curse causeless won't come. And it described it like a bird flying around, but no place to land. And we said, the New Testament, Ephesians, talks about don't give place to the devil. Don't give the devil a place to land. My father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's in heaven now, he used to say this. He said, you can't prevent thoughts from coming to you any more than you can prevent a bird from flying over your head. Well, that's applicable. We just read about birds, right? He said, you can't prevent a bird from flying over your head. He said, you can prevent them from building a nest in your hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
What does that mean? Giving them a place to land.
Right.
Giving them a place to set up shop. And,
yeah.
And so the enemy, he will come. He will bring thoughts, suggestions, feelings. He's an outlaw. He'll try to do stuff he's got no right to do. You can't prevent him trying to do something, but you never have to accept it.
Yeah.
You don't have to just say, okay, come on in and steal, kill, and destroy. No, you rise up on the inside and you say, no.
Yes.
No, the curse has no right in my life.
Yeah.
The curse has no place. Why? I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And the Bible said if you resist the devil, what would happen? He'll run away. Why? Because he knows probably better than you have known that you're off limits, that you're redeemed, but he's hoping you don't know it. But too late, we done found out that we are redeemed. In Psalm 125 and verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. When you live by faith, and you live by trust in the Lord, it gives you stability. You are on a solid, immovable foundation.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Which means you're not up and down, in, out, over, wavering. Mm-mm. You become more and more like the one you're connected to.
Yes.
The same.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yes.
Today. And forever, the God who never changes.
Amen.
He goes on to say, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. He's talking about two things here. He's talking about stability and strength and being immovable. And then he's talking about God being around you, like a place encircled by mountains. And this is the presence of God. This is the protection of God.
Amen.
And this is the favor and blessing of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And so we talked about a couple of classes back about what my brother Jerry Savelle used to say is entirely scriptural. And of course, he preached from these verses many, many times. He would say, the blessing of the Lord is on me. The favor of the Lord surrounds me. Isn't that picture?
Yes.
And the Bible talks about, King James uses the word encompassed. Encompassed, well, a compass is a circle, 360 degrees all the way around. And we are encompassed completely around with God, with His angels, with His favor, His protection, His blessing.
Hallelujah.
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 And then notice what he says next. For, now how many understand he's still talking about the same thing? Right? For, well, you got to go back. What do you mean for? I'm established like Mount Zion. I'm encompassed like the mountains around about Jerusalem. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. What does that mean? It means the curse causeless shall not come. The rod is the punishment. In that Proverbs 26, the curse causeless shall not come, the very next verse he talks about the rod. Well, the rod is for the back of fools, he said. It's the being beaten as a punishment, and this is for the wicked. Now, some of your modern translations will translate it scepter, like ruler. But I don't see that. In Psalm 89 and 31, he said, if people break his statutes and don't keep his commandments, I'll visit their transgression with the rod and iniquity with stripes. That's not scepter. That's punishment. That's the exact same word that's translated rod in Psalm 125. No, he's talking about the punishment of the wicked shall not rest on the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands to iniquity. If the curse comes indiscriminately, whether you serve God or whether you don't, then you're going to be hopelessly confused. Right?
Yes.
And I've even heard people say, oh, well, you don't want to be too holy and too committed because, you know, you'll get attacked worse than anybody else. And you'll just, oh, really? So I just want to be moderately righteous. Don't get carried away. Do you hear what confusion that is?
Yes.
What mixed up stuff that is. And again, what's the doctrine of demons? One of the biggest things he does, he swaps it. He twists it. He perverts it. He calls good evil and evil good. And if you believe him, then he's got the righteous being punished with the curse that should be to the wicked. Huh? And he'll have the wicked enjoying all the blessings and benefits. Not true. Not right, not truth. He said the rod of the wicked will not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands to iniquity. See, that could lead to people going, well, hey, what good does it do me to live right? Because the more I live right, I'm just going to get the curse. Right? Mm-mm. No. That's exactly what the enemy had in mind. He wants you to get discouraged. He wants you to believe lies that this tithing's not going to do me any good. This going to church, this praying, this reading my Bible, it's not helping you. It's not helping you at all. You might as well just be a sinner. You might as well just, right? Live for the hour, you know, party on. You might as well. Now you're laughing, but people do this. People have backslid. People have left God. They have left churches. And it wasn't that God failed them or didn't come through for them. He's a faithful God.
Amen.
They believed lies.
Yes.
They listened to lies of the devil.
Yes.
It was never God's will for you to live in the curse, for you to be stolen from and destroyed. It was never God's will for your family to be destroyed, for your family members to be killed with cancer. Or with car accidents. Come on, y'all listening.
Yes.
Tornado or drown or hurricane or any dread disease. A curse is never the will of God.
Yes.
Can never be the will of God.
Yes.
Is the curse working in people's lives, even in people in the church? Yes. Yes, it is. But it's because people either don't know or they don't accept it.
Yeah.
And they're not listening.
Yes.
I can't control everybody, but I can accept it for myself.
Yes.
I can believe it,
yes.
And I can accept it, and I can live and walk in the blessing.
Yes.
Come on, say it out loud. I am the blessed.
I am the blessed.
I am not the cursed.
I am not cursed.
The curse does not belong to me.
The punishment of the wicked.
The rod of the wicked
shall not be on me.
The curse will not be on me.
Christ redeemed me
from the curse of the law. You know, you see this all the way back into Genesis and all the way through. that God has revealed himself as the righteous judge of all the earth. You'll see numerous references to this. And you remember Abraham, and we're talking about the blessing of Abraham. In him walking with God, Lot and his kinfolks had left him and moved over to Sodom. And Sodom was a wicked city. And the angel of the Lord, and representing and speaking as the Lord, came by and visited Abraham. And he prepared a meal for him. And then was walking with them as they were leaving. And this is Genesis 18 and 23. Abraham drew near, responded to what the Lord had said. He said that the cry, the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah had come up before him. And he was going to see it for himself. And Abraham knew that place is about to be judged. It's about to be destroyed. Is that God's will, that destruction? Does it please him?
No.
Do you remember he told Jonah that to go proclaim to Nineveh, right? That within a short amount of time, they were going to be completely destroyed. And they repented,
right?
And were not destroyed. What does that tell you? What if Sodom and Gomorrah had repented? Could they have been spared? God is that way with everybody, everywhere, even when he has tolerated the most terrible wickedness for decades and scores of years and even centuries. He'll say, this is coming on you. This is coming on you. This is coming on you. And he'll even try to describe it to get people to wake up and get concerned about this. But then he'll say, but if you'll repent, if you'll repent. You know, I think it's interesting that, you know, people talk about Jezebel. And I've heard all kind of crazy stuff about Jezebel. But Revelation talks about that woman, that person, Jezebel, and oh, how wicked she was and what she had done. And the Lord in the book of Revelation is talking to them about the judgments that's about to come. And I mean, destroy and wipe everything out. But then at the end he said, unless they repent.
Yeah.
What? Jezebel can be saved? Yeah. If she'll repent. Right? I mean, you can't get too wicked. You can't go too far. You can't get too bad. It's not the wickedness that destroys people. It's not the sin exactly. It's the refusal to repent. Because God can and will forgive anything. He will. If you'll genuinely repent. Thank God, repentance is a gift. I said, it's a gift. But when the Lord told Abraham this, Abraham, I mean, it hit him because his kinfolks are there. And he knows this thing's about to be judged. It's about to be wiped out. And so he said, verse 23, Abraham drew near and said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? What's he saying? He said, is it right that the same thing happened to the righteous as what happens to the wicked? See, he knew God well enough to know, to talk about this and to ask this. Verse 25, that be far from you to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Wow. And then he says, what if we come short? You know, would you save the place for 50 people? It's a big city. If we could find 50 righteous. And what if the Lord, without any debate or discussion, the Lord says, yeah, I'll spare it for that. Then, you know, he begins negotiating. He says, well, What if we just five short, you know? What if we just, and he got down to 10.
Yes.
And without any discussion, every time he said it, the Lord said, I'll spare it.
Yeah.
He's wanting somebody to ask him, why is he there? Why did he bring it up to his covenant friend? He's wanting him to ask him. Can you see this?
Yes.
Such a merciful God. But sadly, there are cases where nobody will ask him and nobody will repent. And so he's the righteous judge. He's got no option. A judge that sat over a convicted felon and pronounced the sentence that the jury read, is he the one that executed them? Is it his fault? No, he's just declaring the law.
Right.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
And that's our good God. Yeah. Oh, but the difference in him and the laws of men, if you'll yell from the bench, but I repent, I repent, then I'm telling you, mercy will be yours. And you can be blessed anyway. And that's all we have time for today. We'll see you again soon here in Faith School. I've sure enjoyed being with you again this week. Are you convinced yet that you're blessed? The curse has no place in your life, and the blessing belongs to you. I like to speak over our partners at the end of every week. We can't do what we do without the Lord meeting all of our needs and blessing us through all our partners. And that gives us a right to speak over you increase and blessing. Father, I pray that in any way that the enemy's been able to harass or steal from any of our partners, reveal to them what to do, what to say, any changes to make to close those doors and give the enemy no place. Every seed that they have sown into us, I have a right to declare increase over your life, over you, your body, your family, your children, your house, increase. Lord, cause the seed to be multiplied and come back to them. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I call every bill paid. I call every debt paid off. Every need met, every good desire fulfilled. Get glory to yourself in their lives in Jesus' name. I'm expecting those words to come to pass. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website. Or call us at 941-702-7390.